Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols. We're here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800.
Is Gladys Becky with the good hair in this song?
Good, now you know what it is.
Or is the other woman Becky with the good
hair? When I brought up Lemonade last week, Lemonade was popular enough to be on the show that I listen to every Saturday morning, and I believe you do too. Wait, wait, don't tell me. On NPR.
I was buying Star Wars stuff Saturday morning. I listen to NPR.
Well, of course, this is the part of the show where we give you more news, and we do that by Derek and I quizzing each other, by saying one word or two words of something that has happened in this week's news, and we have to guess what it's about, therefore informing you all about it. Informing each other most of the time.
I knew that the Beyonce album had come out. I just didn't know what the title of it was because
somebody's
I don't
not paying
care.
Attention.
All
right.
Care.
I will start. Oh, no.
No. You start every week.
All right. We'll switch it up.
No. That's the rule. You start every week.
Medical errors.
Medical errors are the leading cause of death in American adults. Surpassing automobile accidents for the first time in U.S. history. I forget what the exact number were, but there were a lot of them.
It's actually the third.
Third?
Yep. So researchers say that the medical errors are now third leading cause of death in the United States. So this was published by the BMJ on Tuesday, and it says that hospitals and other healthcare facilities are incredibly common. Third leading cause of death in the United States, claiming 251,000 lives a year. That is staggering. It's more than respiratory disease, accident, stroke, and Alzheimer's. Oof. I'd give you half of that.
You get partial credit
for
that.
Yeah, it's a halfer.
Sonia Farak.
I know I saw this name. Sonia Farak.
Or I think it might be Sonia Farouk. I don't know. Sonia Farak. Farouk.
There was a Sonia that was on Sesame Street that got a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Not that Sonia.
I don't know this one.
I'm surprised because we talked about this on the way in tonight. She is the crack-addicted chemist working in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Amherst testing facility who has now jeopardized the findings in 30,000 drug cases, partly because she was using the evidence, partly because she smoked crack several times a day while on the job.
So what you're saying is that's frowned upon.
Let me underline this. During the Deval Patrick administration, which we know was a golden era here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, we had a woman working in the state drug lab who was a crack cocaine addict.
Yeah, you may know her by the name of Annie Duquin.
No, Annie Duquin was just dry labbing.
Oh, that was...
Annie was just sitting there saying drugs, 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 drugs without actually testing anything. Sonia was testing the drugs on herself while she was on the job. So...
That's one way to get it done.
I don't know...
I mean, sacrificing yourself.
I don't know what's worse... That we had someone not doing the job at all in one of our drug labs, or that we had somebody high on crack in the other one.
Or actually doing the job, yeah.
The net result of it is another 30,000 defendants who can now apply to have their verdicts overturned because the technician in the drug lab was high on crack.
Doesn't look good for Massachusetts.
But
it happened.
Maybe
again.
She, I mean, and Annie Duquesne, like, can be cellmates.
And this, I mean, she did this every day. How does somebody not notice that? Who is watching over them?
That's the first question that I would have.
But I mean, even if we're talking about the overnight shift when you're doing this, and maybe less people going in and out of the laboratory, there's cameras, nobody's noticing. Hey, you know, Sonia is over in the corner shaking and her eyes look weird.
It's not like crack cocaine doesn't have a very specific smell associated with it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't notice it as much if you're in a lab full of drugs. But I would think that somebody who just walked in the middle of the winter having smoked some crack cocaine is going to smell a little bit like crack cocaine. And maybe one of your fellow technicians,
or the constant trips to the bathroom and the track marks,
would point this out to somebody. I don't know. I didn't work with her. Maybe she was really, really good at hiding the fact that she was using crack cocaine. Maybe somebody should have noticed that the evidence bags came back a little bit lighter than they should have. This, I am beside myself with this. Between Annie Duquesne and now Cracky the lab tech, I just
give up.
I can't take this state seriously anymore. I just can't. It's all a big joke. Bring back the Grand Prix.
All right, Takata.
It is the largest recall in United States history. And it's, you know, I get a little squirrely about them saying that, because you throw this headline around, it's the largest recall in U.S. history. Well, it's not the vehicles themselves that are being recalled.
It's the actual product.
It is a component in the airbag that has to be recalled. An additional 35 to 40 million vehicles announced yesterday. They still haven't said which ones. Oh, that's a...
Surprise.
Just keep driving those cars.
Just crash into something and then you'll find out.
Try not to get into an accident until we tell you which vehicles it is, because your airbag may explode and send metal shards flying into your face. So drive slow, kids. But the problem is they used a drying agent, a cheaper one to save money, that unfortunately corrodes the metal housings for the explosive charge and causes them to explode violently when the airbags are deployed. Mm. Poor form Takata.
So that little fender bender.
Yeah.
You're looking at shrapnel.
Yeah, now you got a face full of metal. Nobody likes that. Let's see how much attention you are paying to the world of food. Bunyadi. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Bunyadi.
I can't guess these names when you're saying them wrong. Bunyadi? How do you spell it?
Is it Bunyadi? Bunyadi.
Bunyadi.
Yes. I would expect
that there's a new food craze that's taking over New York that's supposed to be like the new cronut.
Nope.
Oh, that's the liquid cake.
Yeah, that's the
gel cake.
Yeah. The water cake is called.
Water cake. No, I don't know. Bunyadi.
I'm surprised you haven't heard about this. That is the naked restaurant that is going to be opening up in London.
No.
You haven't heard about this?
Mm-mm.
It is a pop-up.
What?
It is a pop-up restaurant. This has been all over the place. It is a pop-up restaurant.
Just like Lemonade was? Everywhere.
I knew the Beyonce album was out. I didn't know the name of it.
Maybe I knew there was a naked restaurant. I didn't know the name of the restaurant.
Did you know there was a naked restaurant opening up in London?
No.
There is a naked restaurant opening up in London. You will have a choice of either eating naked or eating in a closed area. And you don't have to be totally naked in the naked area, but you can be. Your waitstaff will be topless. And they've received something like 32,000 reservations.
Oh, I'm sure.
So far, from people who want to go eat.
What is the reason for it? Are they saying that your senses are heightened because your breasts are free?
The people who are behind this, and they say it's going to be a very short-term thing. They're just doing it as a pop-up. It's not going to be a permanent restaurant or anything like that. But they are very much into the clean food movement, and they are trying to get back to basics. But they also say that it's a social experiment on their part.
Which is interesting, because so many restaurateurs want to focus on the food.
Yeah.
You don't want to focus with everything else going on. And that's why something like dining in the dark is so popular for chefs to do it, because your senses are heightened, your tastes are heightened. I'm going to be looking at the guy's junk next to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially if you have some foods that are...
No electric lights, by the way.
No electrical lights?
No. It's candlelight? It's all going to be candlelight.
Very sexual.
No, the chefs are going to be cooking on fire. So the whole thing is just no, like, naked... They're calling it the naked food experience.
It sounds like a granola cruncher, like Birkenstock wear.
Yeah, but I get the feeling that they're going for a higher end crowd with this. You know, Jerry Hall's going to be hanging around with this.
They'll pay anything, even the dark, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Instagram.
Instagram. You know, I've read stuff about Instagram, but I know it's not what you're talking about. Because I was reading about...
There's a story that came out today.
Story that came out today about Instagram. I don't know.
Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, gave $10,000 to a 10-year-old Finnish boy for finding a flaw in the photo sharing app. So Instagram actually has this program where, you know, if you're incredibly good at computers or some sort of hacker... And you figure out glitches in the system or flaws, they pay you for it.
Yes.
This 10-year-old found out found the bug that would allow you to delete comments on somebody else's post. Paid him $10,000.
Not bad.
Crazy.
Hamilton.
It is the play that is happening in New York, and you're probably not going to it because it is sold out until January 2017. But the Tony Award nominations came out, and I believe it's at 16, which is the most that has ever been nominated.
You are correct. The previous record was held by the producers, which got 15 nominations and won 11. Hamilton may come away with the record for awards as well.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Elliot also received 15 nominations, but did not win as many as the producers. So yes, this is the record number of Tony Awards. That's like half the categories. Although it's not half the categories. There are actually three people from Hamilton nominated for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm. So, like I was saying, they are sold out until January of next year, and they haven't started selling the next block of them. But I guess prices on, you know, StubHub and all these extra sites are going for $800 up to like $2,000, $3,000. People are hiring because you can go the day of.
Yeah.
And whether it's leftover cast, family seats, VIP seats that don't come in, people are hiring line holders, paying $200 to stand in line and try to get tickets.
It's insane. You cannot get near this show.
I wanted that job.
I saw the show across the street when I was down in New York in January because I couldn't get tickets to that.
Mm-hmm.
I will point out that there is a dark alley next to the theater, and I'm waiting for someone to hide in that alley with a gun and just rob ticket holders as they wait to get in. Because if somebody's standing in that line, you know they got tickets. Just mug them. Take their tickets. Go watch the show.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Drag them down the alley. Tie them up. Let them out after the show's over. And you'll get to see Hamilton. I do not encourage this kind of behavior. I'm just saying it's an option.
You're just putting it out there. All right. Iwo Jima.
There is a controversy over the famous photo of Iwo Jima. And this gets really interesting because they thought they knew who the five guys were in the picture. And one of them was a Navy officer named John Bradley. They now think that is not John Bradley in the photo because what he's wearing and what he's carrying does not match up with other photos taken of him earlier in the day. This might not be that big of a deal except for one tiny, tiny detail. John Bradley's son, James Bradley, is the author of Flags of Our Fathers, one of the best novels about World War II mm-hmm. in the last 20 years, and also a motion picture directed by Clint Eastwood. So nobody's too happy about this right yeah. now.
Whoopsies.
Nobody's too happy.
It was interesting how it came about, though. The inquiry, like, one man from Nebraska, Eric Creel, and Stephen Foley of Ireland, they started noticing these things and brought it to the light of the Marines, and there's been an investigation.
Yes, now there's egg on a lot of faces. The HMS Endeavour.
Is that the one that found the their three planets? There's three new planets.
No.
The TRAPPIST-1 with the star rotating around the star.
The HMS Endeavour.
I don't know.
HMS, short for Her Majesty's Ship.
Oh, the boat in Newport.
Yes.
So, it's a possibility that there is wreckage under Newport, and people are saying that it could be of the HMS Endeavour. I don't know why I'm thinking spaceship.
This was, well...
Because Endeavour, yeah.
Yes, because actually... NASA.
Well, there's been so much stuff with it. Like I said, there's new planets and stars, and they're millions of miles. Yeah.
They very deliberately named the Endeavour after this ship. This was the ship that was used by James Cook from the early 1700s, around about 1713, until about 1781, when they think it was scuttled in the harbor. The Endeavour is important because it was the ship that found Australia. So this is one of the most significant ocean-going exploring vessels human history.
They say it went down?
It was like 1778,
mm-hmm.
while Newport was under siege.
No treasure, right?
Well, the ship, it's, I mean, if,
I
it,
mean,
if it is...
The artifacts from the ship, whether it be a cup, are probably worth... thousands of dollars.
Anything that would identify the ship
mm-hmm.
would be priceless in terms of human history, but in terms of actual real value, we're not talking about pirate treasure. You know, we're not talking about gold doubloons.
All the mafias in Providence are getting down there.
Yeah, it was
getting their scuba gear on, and yeah,
it was Rome, I think, or Milan, somewhere in Italy. They found a bunch of old jars full of ancient coins, and they had something like 1,300 coins that they think had been set aside to pay taxes, and just they don't know why they were left there or what have you. Those are worth a lot of money
mm-hmm.
because you can turn around and sell those. The value in the Endeavour is in what the ship did. Any cargo that it had that was valuable would have been taken off long before that. Because what they'd do is they'd sail off to a new island, and they'd bring back plants and animals and occasionally people.
Where did they think that it sank before?
They didn't know. It's been rumored for a long time mm-hmm. that it was sunk during the Revolutionary War. Lots of ships were sunk in lots of places. Nobody knew specifically, and they knew a bunch of ships were sunk in Newport Bay. Just nobody knew which ships.
Mm-hmm.
So a group of investigators has been looking at the shipwrecks down there, and they're pretty well convinced that this is it. So I don't know what they do with it at this point. Maybe they'd try and bring pieces of it up. Maybe the tendency now is to just leave them alone and let them be. And then the divers come in and take pieces of them home. So you might as well just take the pieces off and put it in a museum.
All right. Hulu.
Hulu, the television service.
Mm-hmm.
God.
This was yesterday. Big news breaking.
Hulu yesterday. CBS is going to have Star Trek. Did Hulu get the exclusive on the Marvel movies?
Mm-mm.
Hulu yesterday. Oh, God, I saw something on them yesterday, too. I don't recall what it was.
They announced they are launching a cable-like subscription service.
Yeah.
So basically, that would mean they would be streaming and have cable under their belt. They're still talking about what they're going to charge for it, but $40. This is exactly what we've been talking about so much
when
we're talking about... you know, net neutrality, and that people are pulling the plugs. And if you could, would you just pick a few channels that you like?
No,
well,
Hulu because
has partnered with channels ESPN, Fox, and ABC.
Yeah, the same ones that PlayStation has on their service. And can I tell you something? I'm paying for the internet connection. I'm paying for cable. I'm paying for Netflix. We're paying for Showtime with the cable. Apparently, we're paying.
How much do you pay a month for your cable?
We're paying for Amazon Prime. We're paying for Hulu. We got the Showtime with the Hulu now, so that the movies that aren't on.
So you're probably paying upwards of $200.
But I'm back in the same boat I was when it was just Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
Only now I'm writing checks to a bunch of different places.
It's gotten worse. It's automatically just charging you.
Gotten worse, and I still have 200 channels that I have no need for.
Mm-hmm. But you're seeing more companies do this. Hulu. We just saw Netflix do it.
It's just, this is a very, very bad time for television consumers. And it doesn't feel that way because you look around and you say, oh, we have all these options now that we didn't have before. Yes, but you're paying for all of them. And what you're paying monthly is actually going up and up and up and up and up.
Not everybody is in the same boat as you are where you're paying, you know, 12 different companies.
No.
Because you need your BBC, American, show.
If you're not, you're sitting there saying, oh, why is everything I want to watch on this other service?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Amazon Prime isn't a bad deal because if you buy anything from Amazon, you may as well get it.
There's some people that just don't watch TV.
They're the smart ones. They're the very smart ones because they're not watching. I hope they listen to the radio and listen to WMFO Medford and The Big Picture. This is a good show. Johnson & Johnson.
There is a lawsuit. I believe it's $55 million or $35 million.
$55 million.
That a woman is put against a lawsuit of Johnson & Johnson for causing cervical cancer by using their powder.
Ovarian cancer. Ovarian, actually, yes. But we'll give you credit for that.
I was in other regions.
Yeah. Jury gave $55 million to Gloria Ristison, I think is the way that's pronounced, who used Johnson & Johnson's talcum powder for 35 years and was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. This is the second major lawsuit that Johnson & Johnson has lost. In February, they had to pay $72 million to the family of Jackie Fox, also for ovarian cancer, and there are 50 more cases coming down the pike.
Do you even prove that? I mean,
I think this would be news to a lot of people that talcum powder is causing ovarian cancer.
How much powder are you using and how often are you using it?
That's a good question. That's the American Cancer Society does not have
Is there a proper proportion or amount of powder that you can only use?
There's no There is no established link between talcum powder and ovarian cancer. And yet, Johnson & Johnson has lost twice. Maybe because the juries are simply, we hate big companies and you're evil people and whatever it is. But this is a lot of money. I mean, Johnson & Johnson is a multi-billion dollar company. So even still, this is a lot of money. And if they got 50 of these lawsuits stacked up, this is going to be bad for them. So maybe you stop using the baby powder. I don't know. I know that we've had Johnson's baby powder for decades now. We've also had ovarian cancer for decades now. There may be a link.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those stories that sort of catches you off guard. It's like, is this a frivolous lawsuit? Is this not a frivolous lawsuit? You got two jury verdicts going against you. The juries are seeing something. So, you might want to rethink the baby powder.
All right, last one for you. Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, for the first time in its history, has defaulted on its debt payments and is looking for assistance from the United States government to bail it out, even as its people flee the island in ever-growing numbers, trying to find a place that is not as badly in debt in Puerto Rico. That is turning into a cause of the problem, because with everyone leaving, there's no tax base left.
Yeah, we're looking at $422 million in debt owed.
It's a little bit like Fort McMurray, only debt is the fire.
All right, last one for me.
Last one for you. Let's see if you remember your teenage years. Aeropostale.
Saw this. Because you know I don't look at the business often. Aeropostale is closing all of their, or I believe it's upwards of 2,000.
They don't have 2,000.
200?
No.
They're closing all their stores. They have no money.
You're the wheelhouse. So they're closing all of their Canada, all of their stores in Canada, okay, and 113 stores in the United States as part of a Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization. For those of you in the local,
yeah, they basically give their clothes away. If you ever walk by, it's like 98% off. Yeah.
For those of you in the local market who are nervous about the future of Aeropostale, which means you are between the ages of 14 and 16, and thank you for listening to the show. You will grow up to be a very smart adult. The only Massachusetts location, in fact, the only New England location that is shutting down is the Greendale Mall in Worcester.
Oh, so North Shore Mall is staying open.
All the rest of the Aeropostales will still be there for your I want to look older than I am shopping needs. Just pretty much what Aeropostale is good for.
Cheap.
It's cheap, but it's also, you know.
We were pretty close. I think you had one up on me this week.
No, I think we wound up pretty much in the same place because there was one that I completely
both
missed.
Ties.
WMFO Midford, when we come back, what are we talking? Oh, the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
The Grand Prix.
Which you will not be seeing Labor Day here. No. In the beautiful city of Boston.
I've forgotten it already. It left town that fast. Here's another little Star Wars treat for you. Happy May the 4th from WMFO Medford.
There is nothing new under the sun, but under the small green fourth moon of Yavin, there is quite a different story. Director George Lucas and 20th Century Fox present Star Wars. Luke Skywalker is on a daring mission to rescue a beautiful princess, and all he needs is a little help from his friends. Han Solo, space pirate, and Chewie, his giant Wookiee, C-3PO, human relations cyborg, and his counterpart R2-D2, and the mysterious Jedi Knight. Never before in the history of movies has so much time and technology been spent just for fun. Star Wars. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash. Fluorescent lamps. Fluorescent lamps. Thermometers. Thermometers. Thermostats. Thermostats. Button batteries. Button batteries. These could all contain mercury, so let's dispose of them properly. Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash. Know your products with mercury, so you can dispose of them properly.
Mercury is harmful to your health and the environment. To learn what products in your home may contain mercury and where to dispose of them, contact your local health department or visit keepmercuryfromrising.org. Brought to you by Wheelabrator Technologies and Coventa Energy, the people who convert your trash into clean, renewable electricity.
Know your products with mercury, so you can dispose of them properly.
KeepMercuryFromRising.org.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Medford, this is The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols and Derek Gary here till 9 o'clock tonight, and be a part of the show by giving us a call at 617-627-3800.
Starting to be overcome by the urine smell back here, so, you know.
Well, congratulations, Boston. You are now 0-2 for major sporting events. Promoters of the IndyCar race in the Seaport that was supposed to happen in September, of course, quickly raced out of the city faster than they could get their wheels even on the road. Another major sporting event gone. As much as I hated Boston 2024, the idea of having an Olympics, this I was on board for.
Oh, come on.
I absolutely was.
Come on.
Essentially what it was a IndyCar race. It was scheduled for Labor Day weekend. So it was a 2.2-mile temporary street course. It was went around or would go around the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. So that's right on top of Summer Street, right next to the Western Waterfront, if you know that area. Promoters actually signed last May an agreement with Marty Walsh. A lot of controversy that surrounded that because many people in the neighborhoods were saying, how can you sign this when we haven't even had any meetings?
Well, many people in the neighborhoods were saying, what Grand Prix? Why is there a Grand Prix?
Surprise.
Why are you having a Grand Prix Labor Day weekend when already nothing in the city moves and you're going to shut down all the roads around the convention center?
I would have to differ.
Stupid.
No.
Stupid. Stupid.
I've worked.
Stupid.
This is going to be, Derek, my sixth summer working in the Seaport District.
Stupid.
So I have seen it from pretty much start to finish. It's evolution.
Yeah.
I know that neighborhood probably better than most people living in that neighborhood I know everybody living in it. I know the ins and outs and ways around. I know what days are busy. I know what weekends are going to be slower because I work too much, obviously.
Let's keep in mind, that neighborhood is a narrow strip surrounded by an urban wasteland full of old fish packing plants.
Okay. No.
Yes.
If you go down.
Yes.
Which is where they were just going to have, you know, the VIP lounge.
Yeah.
Here's essentially, you say though, Derek, it's part of the city where nothing moves on Labor Day. If you've ever...
No. I'm saying that nothing in the city moves on Labor Day because that's move-in weekend for the universities, of which we have more per square inch than just about any other place on the planet.
That's not true. Lately, if you look at any of the schools, they've been doing it a week before Labor Day.
And that's
okay.
And that's what they were asking the schools to do again this year.
Labor Day.
Some years that works and some years it doesn't. It depends on where the calendar
schools
breaks.
Schools started doing it because there was so much traffic already with people coming in and out of the city at the beginning and end of Labor Day weekend. In the seaport, in Labor Day, and especially in the city, everybody leaves town. Nobody who actually lives there is there. You can't tell me if you're living on a high rise in Summer Street, you're going to be having people over for a barbecue. Where are you barbecuing?
Oh, you still can't.
On the corner?
You still can't drive in any of the neighborhoods outside of downtown. Every neighborhood is full of moving vans. You know what part of the problem is? Doesn't matter when the schools tell the kids to move in.
Yeah, but if you have people that are traveling from either north of the city or south of the city, they're taking 95 or Route 1. There are four different ways that you can get into the seaport. You can get there by taking the main road going down Northern Ave.
Which would have been shut down.
93, 95, or 90.
That main road would have been shut down, by the way, for the Grand Prix. Yes, that was part of the course.
Nope. One of the exits would be diverted.
Yeah.
So you could still get there. Yes, you could.
But part of it's shut down. So
yeah, if you go further into it, why would you be driving further into the race?
So you're going to create a traffic nightmare on the highways to go along with nothing moving on the residential streets because it doesn't matter when the universities open. The leases turn over on September 1st. So August 31st and September 1st, no matter what you
nobody
do.
Nobody moves.
No matter what you do.
People move on September 1st. Nobody's moving in the seaport.
It doesn't matter if people are moving in the seaport or not.
Oh, so
everyone
what?
Else
You're
in the city.
You're going to have to deal, Derek, with a little traffic, maybe an hour extra going in.
You've never been.
Down 93. No, I have.
You've never been in the Back Bay on move-in weekend, have you?
Why would you be traveling down Back Bay if you're coming from New Hampshire?
Your child into a dormitory or because you are moving your child into an apartment.
I'm not talking about the race.
I'm not talking about the residents. I'm talking about everybody else trying to get into the city, and oh, now we're going to have a Grand Prix in the middle of it. Stupid.
What's stupid? The amount of money that would be brought into...
What money is going to be brought into the city? Do you know how much money they would have spent to host this? So that you can have jet setters come in for 3 days...
But who are you saying is spending the money?
And order a little extra shrimp cocktail
at
your restaurant.
Who are you saying is ordering or paying for this bill?
The public. That's who Grand Prix Boston wanted paying for it.
That's the scam that they
run all over the country.
That is not all of it. When you were looking at the permits that were going in May, when Marty Walsh actually signed it, you cannot in any of these, whether we're talking about the Boston Marathon, when you get permits in a contract signed, the Grand Prix, whoever is hosting it, needs to say that we are going to be responsible for a certain amount of money. Just to cover, logistically, police. It has to be that way.
It's not that way.
But it is. It's in the contract. It's in all of them. If you talk to many representatives, I've heard interviews with them. I talked to people that were going to these meetings.
Have you read the contract?
No, I haven't read the...
Okay, because the people putting on this Grand Prix have a reputation for going around the country and robbing communities blind... So they can have their little car party and then leaving town with a big mountain of debt.
So you're trying to tell me that the sponsors of the race, we actually have massive sponsors that had signed on from Boston, whether we're talking about Log Me In, New Balance, countless other ones.
They're paying
Polar.
They're paying to put some billboards up.
Yeah, and they're paying a couple hundred thousand to a couple million dollars.
You think a couple hundred thousand bucks is going to pay for all of the union labor necessary to construct the racetrack? That's why Marty Walsh signed the deal.
And there's also the about 20 big name sponsors that are backing it.
The only thing Marty Walsh saw was, hey, union jobs with plenty of overtime because this is quick turnaround project.
And probably
the unions will love
you anticipated me being on your side because I would have to deal with that traffic. That would be something that I would deal with for a couple days, knowing that, because we got to look at it on the bigger scheme, and it's not talking about just a Grand Prix. What it says to anybody that's trying to bring something in, we're lucky enough to be hosting the 2022 Open. That's going over in Brookline.
Yeah, that thing shows up every 5 or 6 years.
No, this is the first time in 20-something years.
Oh, the U.S. Open.
The U.S. Open.
I thought you were talking about the...
We're hosting.
I thought you were talking about the PGA Tour. They blow in...
That's a little south of the city.
Yeah, they blow in every 5 or 6 years.
We were lucky enough to get that.
Yeah.
Again, we were very lucky to get a company like GE.
They've done that before over there, too. This isn't their first dance with the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm. But what this says to other... some sporting events, we don't want to do business with Boston. If you look at the NHL, will never, ever go back to Fenway Park. Why? Because in 2010, we're talking about a area that is designed to hold entertainment. It holds baseball games. It has the streets already marked off for police detail. But somehow, for the Winter Classic, the NHL had to get 100 different permits to hold its event there.
Sure.
100 different permits.
And every one of those city and state agencies has got its hand out. That's part of the reason this thing came
apart.
That's
unbelievable.
That's the way it's done in Boston.
And what happens when they came this past year to hold it? Went down to Foxborough.
Yeah, because all you got to do is deal with the town of Foxborough and Bobby Kraft.
We've seen things like this get knocked down. I mean, as much as I would hate to think of it, the soccer stadium that wanted to be built in South Boston.
Also a bad idea.
It is.
It was a terrible idea.
But for, you know, these big entities, these big groups, looking at it and saying, why are we going to go to Boston? Look at all the crap that we have to deal with to do it.
Good. Let them stay out.
Nobody's
I don't have a problem with that. I do not have a problem with that. Because the city of Boston does not need these very expensive, very disruptive, temporary events to prove anything about itself to anyone else in the world. We have tourism. We have business coming to this city.
No, absolutely.
We have General Electric coming in.
But wouldn't you want to be a part of some of these events?
No.
Some of these,
no.
They're exciting.
I'm sure they are
racing,
exciting.
But I would go to it.
I have no interest. If I want to watch Formula One, I can go down to Providence, where I'm sure they will be more than happy to pave over the river again.
So you wouldn't want to see more events cars up and down it. Something like Fenway Park when this year, which was massive, the Big Air, huge event. Tickets sold out in about 10 minutes.
That's great.
How great it was during the dead of winter, which, I mean, nobody goes to any of those restaurants around Fenway Park.
Completely within Fenway Park. We didn't have to reroute any traffic. We didn't have to build new roadways. We didn't have to build an aquatic center or a velodrome.
No, I'm not going to get into because that is...
But this is the same...
It's such a grander...
This is the same thing.
We're talking $6, $7 billion over budget the Olympics would have been, whereas this would have stayed... What, maybe cost the taxpayers $2?
Oh, come on. This thing would have been $2 billion over budget over 5 years, and you know it as well as I do. Because every year, in August, you got to come in and rebuild the roads in the Seaport District, and then you got to
But the roads are already there.
No.
So what, it takes 10 days?
It takes them more than 10 days.
10 days just to put up the barriers?
They were talking about months. They were talking about 2 months of preparation, and then 3 weeks to take it down after the Grand Prix was over.
For the initial. A lot of the things were staying in place.
It would have been the same thing every year. Every year would have been the same thing. This was a loser for the city of Boston. This was a huge loser.
But it just shows how the city of Boston constantly is making it so difficult. I mean, the number one thing why this really that broke... What was it? The environment, the new zoning laws,
you know what the problem
with the flooding?
Is? The seaport.
Then they were like, no.
The seaport district is the problem. You know that the Boston police don't go to the seaport district.
The seaport district,
right?
Is a logistical mess.
Well, but let me...
Yes, because everybody owns different parts of it.
Exactly.
So for the most part, it's owned by Massport.
Every square
Massport
foot
says
of the seaport district...
That Boston PD cannot go. Trust me, I know. I deal with... I see fights on every single walk that I take to my car down Seaport Boulevard and on Northern Ave.
That's also
That's
also why everyone brings their mistresses to the seaport
it's
district.
Massport
because
police.
There's no cops. That's why Pier 4 was so popular back in the day. It's why your restaurant is popular today. Every square foot of the Seaport District
is owned by somebody different.
Is owned by a different state agency.
Yes.
So you come in and you say, I want to put a little asphalt over here. 10 state agencies show up and say, we need to conduct an environmental study. That'll be $50,000. We need to conduct a traffic assessment. That'll be $100,000. Then there's the $75,000 permitting fee that we're going to charge
that
you.
Is insane.
That's why they left. And you know what? I don't have a problem with it.
So because of all these parameters that people need to go, we can't hold events. So we're never going to have anything that we might have to put some money into. Because, yes, I agree, we would be putting money into this, but not at the scale.
We have the Boston Marathon every year.
Not at the scale that the Olympics were at.
We have the Boston Marathon every year. We have... Whatever.
But that's different. That is.
It's not different.
That is engraved in our history. It's not anything
it's
new.
It's still a
it's
big multi-community event that lasts a day and disrupts things for 10 days. We have the concert tent, whatever it's called these days, down in the Seaport District. We have a major sports arena that holds concerts and sporting events all year round. We have Fenway Park. We have lots of places. We got the Adidas people coming in to throw javelins and sneakers around for a weekend.
Exactly, Derek. You just named everything that we've had for a long time.
We have, no, the Adidas thing is new. We have Kenny Chesney's Country Drinking Fest out at Foxborough every single summer.
What does that have to do with the city of Boston
there are,
bringing interesting things? Of course, a
there
concert.
There are plenty of interesting things happening in the city.
There's
tons of interesting things.
There's always going to be artists that are going to come to Boston and perform. You can't say, if we're talking about not on the grand scale that the Olympics are, but not on the lower level like a one, not that a lower level, but a one-day event like the Boston Marathon is, kind of that in-between might take up a weekend, might cost a couple million dollars, but the money that is brought into the city, the people that are brought into the city...
The Grand Prix would have cost a lot more than a couple million dollars. Basically, the message that's been sent is, if you want to make a long-term investment, build some actual useful infrastructure that will make things better for the community, welcome. GE's coming in. They don't have a problem with that. If you're blowing into town for a weekend...
You had a problem with GE coming in.
To have a bunch of... Well,
the only reason why GE came in was because we basically gave them hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks.
Yes, but that proves...
So...
Hey.
We're very choosy.
Marty Walsh.
With what we want
Marty Walsh
here.
Got his union jobs out of it, so he's happy. If you're coming in for a weekend... To have people jet into Logan Airport and sip mimosa while fast cars zip around the streets, goodbye. We don't want that. That is a poor investment for this city. It's an investment this city does not need. In the same way the Olympics was an investment that this city did not need.
It's not that they didn't need it. They didn't want it.
It's not
part of that old school Boston history. Why do we have the tall ships every 5 years? Because it's part of us. It's... Not everybody wants to see a bunch of ships riding around Boston Harbor.
Whether it's a need or want.
They want to see fast cars.
There is no long-term benefit to hosting a Grand Prix in the city of Boston. There is no long-term benefit from it.
There absolutely isn't, but there is short-term benefit.
We don't need...
Whether it be for jobs, whether it be for money.
Not enough. Mm-hmm. We don't need short-term benefit.
Every single one of those hotels in at least a five-mile radius of where that was being built sold out already. Oh, Sorry. Sorry, all your hotels.
So they'll be at their usual 65% occupancy or 70 or 80% occupancy Labor Day weekend instead of 100%. I think they'll live.
Oh my God, God forbid they would actually have to put on extra staff that could make money.
They're not going to put extra staff on for that. You've got some crazy ideas about the benefits that this thing would have delivered.
Unfortunately, have you not realized that I'm in the industry and I understand when restaurants, when hotels, when function halls put on more people to, you know, go with volume? Yes, I do.
Do you expect?
I spent my whole life doing
it. Do you expect that you're
going? Does a Seaport hotel putting on an extra bartender in Tamo when they know that there's four weddings going on or that the Grand Prix is going on? Yes, they do. So now a person is getting an extra shift on a Friday, Saturday night that they normally wouldn't.
So we should drop $40, $50 million of taxpayer money to give an extra shift to some service workers and Marty Walsh's union friends. That's what you're saying?
One, I'm talking about thousands of people would have extra money.
I'm talking about $50 million of taxpayer money to put
Do you have the numbers showing me that it would be $50 million?
I don't, because I didn't see the contract, but I can guess.
Because I know that there were a lot of sponsors involved.
Doesn't matter how many.
Millions of dollars.
The minimum cost to the city for this, the minimum cost for this event would have been $25 million based on what it's cost other cities to host these things. This being Boston probably would have gone up to 50. So if you're going to tell me it's $50 million, it's worth spending $50 million of taxpayer money to give a bartender an extra shift on Labor Day weekend.
To bring in.
Okay.
You've
drawn your line in the sand.
To bring in tourists. To give the people more jobs.
The tourists are here anyway. Are you going to tell me your restaurant is not going to be packed Labor Day weekend? Are you guys going to be closing early on Labor Day weekend because nobody showed up? No, come on.
No, but it's not one of our busiest weekends.
Because most people go to the Cape. For a last time out.
Exactly. But you guys don't want to hear the excuse
You guys are still going to be busy. You're going to be open regular hours. The place is going to be crowded. You'll have full staff.
We're usually slower. Everybody leaves the city.
How much? Yeah, everybody leaves the city because a freaking F1 race is coming to town. And because they know they can't drive around because nothing moves that weekend in the city of Boston. No, it is not worth the taxpayer money for that. I'm sorry.
Should've got it.
I'm sorry. What you should be looking for is $50 million spent on permanent infrastructure that will make it easier for people to get into the Seaport District so they will come to your establishment.
We haven't been able to get the MBTA right thus far. How do you think any millions of dollars are going to do it? Here's another event that we can't have.
I'm saying
because
that is ultimately going to be...
We pick and choose what we want and make it so difficult for everybody.
That's going to be
an Olympics? No. Do I want a race? Yeah, I do.
Fixing the T is going to deliver you guys way more benefits.
I'll pay two more dollars in tax dollars this year. So yeah, I'm sure everybody will. So we can have something fun.
It's going to be more than $2 because there ain't that many people living in the city of Boston. 617-627-3800. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Oscars at Burger Chef.
R2-D2, hurry up.
That's right. Four posters featuring the stars of Star Wars are at Burger Chef.
We'd like a Star Wars poster, please. R2, it's our lucky day. It's us.
Just buy a large serving of Coca-Cola for 49 cents at participating Burger Chefs, and a Star Wars poster is yours to control. There are four spectacular full-color Star Wars posters in all, so start your collection today.
R2, I think we'd better leave.
Star Wars posters, only at Burger Chef, while supplies last.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
And it's time for That's the Thing That Happened, the craziest news stories that we could find from this week. England. A brand new Range Rover, estimated with a price tag of £90,000, was illegally parked in Knightsbridge, London, was towed yesterday, but the parking ticket was probably the least of the owner's worries. Along both sides of the vehicle was the word cheater painted in foot-high red letters, and it's over added on the front driver's wheel. One on the hood were the words, quote, I hope she was worth it. Whoever owned the car really screwed up. A local shopper from Mayfield, West London, was one of those to spot the car. He told the Metro it must have been a crazed ex-girlfriend. People were crowding the car and taking photos, and the car was worth £90,000. She must have been pretty annoyed.
Ugh. Arizona. Officials at Red Mountain High School are scrambling to recover 250 yearbooks after they discovered a picture of a penis on one of the pages. Acting on a dare, senior Hunter Osborne exposed himself over the waistband of his uniform in the group shot of the school's football team, an act that went unnoticed by the photographer, his teammates, the yearbook editors, and the printer, resulting in 3,400 copies of Mr. Osborne's appendage getting shipped back to